Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Make it make sense.
So make it make sense. We're talking about one of the places that I really love in the country.
Yeah.
I used to go to this particular place for, I mean, since maybe 2014, because I always thought it was so beautiful, gorgeous, until it looked like
a felt. Yeah.
Then I stopped going. So we're talking about Hartebees. Ko Harties. Ko Pitorabai Bisa Harties. So the Hartebeespoort Dam, as I mentioned, is one of South Africa's most beloved recreational and leisure places. The dam in recent years has struggled with the infestation of the hyacinth plant, which rapidly grows. I didn't even know about this plant. And covers the water surface, affecting the dam's natural ecosystem and local tourism. And I think when Khomotso posted about this, I was like, you know, Khomotso, we've been debating about this for over a decade.
Yeah.
For over a decade. That's when I actually lost interest. But Ayanda is here, man, to try and make it make sense. I don't know if you'll win this one, but good luck, brothers.
All I can do is try. Good afternoon. Yeah, we're hoping to at least explain what's going on and why it matters. I think a lot of people might just think to themselves that, you know, we're seeing this plant cover the surface of the dam and it's not that deep. You know, boats can continue doing what they do. But there are, you know, far-reaching implications for the ecosystem. We know that a lot of people actually need the fish, for example, to survive, for it to continue being a tourist attraction, etc., etc. As always, we've got a guest on the line. Dr. Kelby English is with Rhodes Center for Biological Control. That's Rhodes University, and joins us now via our telephone line. Dr. English, good afternoon. Welcome to Drive 959.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Lovely. You know, again, this is not new, because last year we were told there was about a 5% coverage of this plant. Today we're standing at about 40% of the dam. What happened?
So I just want to explain just the biology of the plant in itself. So we did get down to 5% last year, and we actually have got down to less than 5% for the last 6 years. So there is a success, you know, we're getting it down to 5% before the winter even arrives. The problem is that there's a massive seed bank in the top of the dam, and the water hyacinth seeds can last up to 25 years. So come springtime, the water temperatures, perfect conditions. This is a plant from the Amazon basin, so it loves warm and humid, which is what hearties summers are like. And it does come back. So every year in spring, summer, the plant will start growing again, and it will increase its population.
Goodness, it sounds like it'll take quite a long time for us to get to a point where we can completely eradicate the plant from the dam.
Yeah, but limiting it to this point, 40%, is actually really successful for the amount of nutrients in the dam and the amount of seeds that are in the dam. Limiting it to this 40% is amazing. And we do that with our biological control agents. And we've been doing that since 2019. So we inundate and we release loads of these cool little insects that we scientists have actually brought over. They're host specific. They only eat water hyacinths. And we get it down to less than 5% every single year. So, and we limit its growth, so it doesn't get to 70% cover, you know, every year.
Yeah. It's perhaps worth taking a few steps back, Dr. English. I don't want to take it for granted that everybody knows why this plant is a bad thing, to put it very loosely. Describe for us the kind of impact it has on the Harties Dam and why it's not desirable to get it beyond that 40% threshold, I beg your pardon, you just spoke about.
So Harties is a recreational, you know, destination. So, of course, getting your boats out, it can be very dangerous to get stuck in the water hyacinth. It forms a very dense mat. And petioles or the stem of the leaves, they get hooked together. So it's almost like if you get stuck in that, you're trying to push against, you know, a brick wall, solid wall. So it can be very dangerous. In areas across the globe, people, you know, rely on water sources for food. So if they can't get into the water and fish, they lose out on meals. They lose out on business if they use the fish to earn money to, you know, buy groceries and that kind of thing. So it is a far-reaching problem, And there's a lot of different economic impacts that the plant, you know, results in.
Yeah. My understanding is that it's an alien plant. How did it get here?
Yeah, so it is an alien plant. It's an invasive alien. So it's from the Amazon basin, as I said. And it's been in South Africa for over 100 years. It's classified as the worst aquatic weed in the world. It invades every single continent except Antarctica. So it really is a problem plant. Yeah, it's something that we have to deal with. It's been in the country for a long time. So we have to try and manage it and reduce its impact as much as possible.
So it's not as easy as getting rid of it. Getting rid of it, like the roots and everything, like bombing it the hell out of here.
I wish it was. A lot of people, you know, think, okay, let's just remove it and it won't come back. But that's the problem, is a seed bank. And that's its biology. It's how it survives in the Amazon. The Amazon, those rivers get flushed out and all the plants get washed into the ocean. And it has to come back. So that's what it relies on, that long seed, living seed bank.
Who's actually responsible for keeping tabs on this? And I suppose we'll get to a point where we can speak about the role that citizens can play. But I don't know, what does the legislation says about who should be keeping tabs on this?
So it is classified, it is a government member, National Biodiversity Act, classified plants as a 1B. So, you know, it is technically illegal to have it on your property. But obviously parties, I think the water is owned by DWS. So it's within kind of the government's mandate to control invasive species, and that mainly falls under the Department of Forest, Fisheries and Environment. But at the same time, you know, these plants are very difficult, so they need research bodies like us to assist them. Unfortunately, we haven't been funded the last 2 years, and I won't get much into that. But yeah, if any citizen can assist with funding us, helping with biological control, Magalie's Water is hitting the management plan at Hartbeespoort Dam, and there's teams mechanically removing, there's us, and there's quite a cohort of us trying to minimize the impact of the water.
All right. That's a lot to take in. And hopefully people who see pictures of this will be able to have a better understanding of what's actually at stake.
So this plant is basically like a relative that you can't get rid of.
Yeah.
She's there in your life.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And because of its makeup, it will always find a way
to survive.
And thrive. Because man, it thrives. Because I mean, Dr. English spoke about these insects that they release, and I think for me, I'm even wondering: are the fishes getting the food that they are supposed to be getting with this blanket covering the dam itself? Are they even getting sufficient nutrients? What's happening for around the conservation underneath all of that blanket? I wonder what's happening there.
Yeah, no, we do know it's got an impact on the biodiversity there. You know,
I wonder if does it mean people have stopped fishing there?
Well, if there aren't any fish,
they can't, even if their boats can go. You heard she said that sometimes it's as hard as hitting a wall. Mm-hmm. So it means you can't go out into the dam to actually extract fish, even if there's still fish underneath.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Dr. Kelby English from Rhodes University, thank you very much indeed. And that's this week's Make It Make Sense.
Thank you.
Leave a comment. WhatsApp 063-688-0959.
So, Komoto asked a very interesting question. And you know, some of us, we are spiritual. I'm talking as a people. You've got these streams, you've got these waterfalls. And the question is, even when you go in there and pray, etc., do you look after those places and keep them clean? Because we know that some people dump things 10 years from now when there's no longer water or those places are no longer accessible. You'll be pointing fingers at other people.
You know, it's funny you say that. So I think a few months ago, somebody posted something on social media. They named the stream of water or dam that place was. Mm. And they were showing people how they leave their candles burning there, how chickens. Much it has become a dump site around there. They are chickens. So obviously, I get a lot of sometimes in African spirituality, la loyan, okay? So sometimes you see the remnants of those things, maybe I don't know what they would be doing there. And it's just so shocking because if it's a sacred place where people are praying and they are talking to a spiritual or trying to at least converse with a spiritual world, how do you leave it dirty? Cleanliness is next to godliness. Why would you leave it dirty?
Well, cleanliness definitely not close to buloyness.
None whatsoever. Look how strong you are.
Hi, so we have Lakeside Mall here in Benoni. It is Lakeside Mall.
Yes.
The main attraction to the mall used to be the lake, and you could see the lake from certain sides as well when you're inside the mall. The mall, the lake itself is now covered in that plant that covers the party stem. It's like a thing. So both the lakes, we have another one also on the other side of Lakeside Mall. It's also covered in the same plant. Is this something that's just developed over the past few years? And at the Lakeside Mall, it's so bad. I think at one point they tried to remove it. Yeah. However, it just keeps growing.
Really?
I think in winter or in autumn, and then it becomes very dark. And now it was summer, it was green again, like green. The water is completely covered, you can't see anything.
I wonder if the hyacinth behaves the same way Mutlaka does.
Yeah.
You know the reeds that you see it in the stream of water? Because Mutlaka will die in winter. You'll see your neighboring bird.
Yeah.
Then in summer it starts growing. It's so green. Even if you cut it, within weeks it's going up again. I wonder if the behavior is the same and if there could be like a chemical treatment as opposed to, obviously, the bugs are more environmental friendly, blah, 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 fish-based. I wonder if there could be a chemical treatment that would actually get to kill off the plants from the seed. Because ukulele, Dr. English, it takes about 25 years to completely kill the seed.
Yeah, but if you're putting chemicals in...
You're killing the fish.
You're killing the fish. Now we're eating fish that has chemicals. The next thing, what? Everyone is sick. But you need the fish now.
You will definitely kill the whatever biodiversity exists
so,
in that place.
And when we enter Itembisa via Slow Chile, there was... It's not, I wouldn't want to call it a dam. But there's always water. That is always stand at Alapan. You can't see them lately. The city is there.
Good
green now. That city, that thing is there now.
Guys, I've lived for Dubai a lot, not all my life, but for a long time. I've never seen the stream of water with my naked eye because there's always this reed. So it's not the hyacinth, but Mutlaka, you know. Obviously, Soweto was a farm at one point or the other, but that whole Mutlaka pela travels throughout Soweto.
It does.
It doesn't matter where you are in Soweto. Chances are there's a stream of water running through, but Mutlaka blocks it. You don't see the actual water.
Wow.
Well, I've never thought, but...
Then I've never...
I wonder.
Coming from Soweto.
Where's Alan, guys? But surely... if my good man...
Mutlaka has been there forever, though.
Forever. Forever and ever. Amen.
Sure.
Leave a comment. WhatsApp 063-688-0959.
Good afternoon, guys. Speaking about the hyacinth issue, so we also had the same problem here in Springs next to President's Dam. So they also had this influx of the hyacinth plant, but they managed to get it under control. Now that body of water is clear and it's a proper dam/lake setup. And so maybe, they can consult the municipality, Ekurhuleni municipality, about, what is it that they did to get that hyacinth problem under control? Because now it's not.
Here in Western area, West Rand, Ranfurt, there's a river there by Kukwan. On other days, you see a truck, a septic tank figure, a chelama ama lokunja lapo. The following day in the morning, you see people parked their cars there. I know, that's not a hygienic, guys. Like, there's no hygiene at all.
Hi, well, guys. It's so interesting that you guys are talking about this. Yes, at Mbisa, there's a section called Excellent. Yeah. How's a bona la mezi? Just after you pass Islo Chile, how's a bona la mezi? The green, I understand. And I saw this at a time. There was this smaller yana thing. I think it's like a boat yana. So I think they were trying to clean it. But clean the space yana. And then after that, kabon or no, but give up because it's too much. It's too much. So yeah, no, it's not looking good.
Yeah, so they must go and consult Lapa. Hey, man, are you not from Springs on a KG? I was, you are clueless. Springs.
You've never seen any water in Springs. The only thing I got,
he was stunned like, eh? Yeah. He even looked down.
Yeah.
We're embarrassed.
You are embarrassing.
You're supposed to be helping Abantubasa Tembisa now that you're here. Tembisa and Hardy is there.
So embarrassing.
Make it make sense.
Ayanda Nyati. If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.